This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, speaking with my colleagues on New World Report, Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia Legislature. She's traveling. She's in North America. And Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. He's in North America. I report that in a conversation with Anatoly Kurmanayev, the New York Times reporter for Central America, I learned a deal about Nicaragua and the latest decision by the longtime president of Nicaragua, Daniel Ortega, dating back 40 years to the Cold War, that most recently, Mr. Ortega gave orders to have the opposition arrested in the presidential contest due this November. All of the candidates, to my knowledge, although I cannot name them, I'm told that some of them were part of Mr. Ortega's party previously. So this very much looks in the characterization that I listened to and that Mr. Komoneyev gave me, is that Ortega does not intend to have a challenged election and that the sanctions visited upon his family have now increased. The U.S. has visited sanctions on his daughter, on a general, on members of his political party, I believe also a central banker. So I begin with you, Joseph, because this is all new to me. Is it well known that the Ortega family are just a dynasty that have replaced the Somozas? Is there anything else that we need to see about Nicaragua and its repression of democracy?
Yes, John, absolutely. It's well known within Nicaragua that the Ortega, and I should say the Ortega Murillo dynasty, because his wife is also the vice president, Rosario Murillo, and she's known to have quite a grip on the power in Nicaragua as well. And they're known to be crony capitalists. Like, even though they have a socialist platform, they themselves live very lavishly, along with their family, owning property outside of Nicaragua and having very luxurious trips abroad. But what we're seeing in Nicaragua, I think, is essentially this escalation from something that began in 2018. In 2018, the Ortega Murillo regime did a brutal crackdown against its civil society and political opposition. Actually, more than 300 people died in that crackdown on the protests. And since then, last year, I believe it was in October of last year in 2020, they passed a new law that actually made this much easier. It's some people have actually called it a comparison to the Russian foreign agents law, where any kind of interaction you have with foreign powers, whether it's an NGO, a media, even a journalist, and obviously much less a political opposition, they could consider that a treasonous act. And they have now used this new law that some people call it the guillotine law in Nicaragua to prosecute all the presidential contenders for this year's election in November. A good friend of mine, actually, Felix Maradiaga, someone I've known for more than a decade, is one of those presidential contenders that's been arrested, beaten, and brutally tortured in the last few weeks. I think if you knew Felix Maradiaga's story, he's quite an advocate for peace and for the ability to rebuild Nicaragua. And I think it's quite an indication that the Nicaraguan or the Ortega Murillo regime is now looking to silence all kinds of opposition to be able to hold a sham election in November.
Maria, how do you read this decision by Daniel Ortega to make a show of his brutality suddenly? Does this link to other actions throughout Latin America where we see so-called populists or socialists using repression to hold on to power? How do you see this development with the U.S. visiting new sanctions on Managua?
Ortega is a representative also of this global threat to Latin America, which is Foro de Sao Paulo. Remember that currently they call themselves Grupo de Puebla, so trying like to refurbish or change the name. Ortega is one of the weirds, and his behavior is not just weird, but it's a typical Latin American dictatorship. Look, he is like playing a role in a movie. He was, remember, a guerrillero from a group that defeat at that time dictatorship Somoza, that ruled Nicaragua very strongly and owned everything with his family. Now, after Somoza was taken out into power and afterward was killed, the change of power remained in this guy, because there was one girl that was the Chamorro's family, older one, that was Violeta Chamorro, who was a president. She didn't do so well. But after her, Ortega get into presidency and kept the presidency exactly as the rest of the presidents of Foro de Sao Paulo. He is violent. His wife is, I don't know if worse than him and as crazy as him. They defeat everyone. And I could see that corruption has raised enormously. There is not any way of having a transparent election. Today, Nicaragua is exactly as Venezuela in elections. And what you see is that the fear of a dictatorship that currently, you know, he flies every time to Cuba to receive orders from the Cuban family. He go back and forth. And he knows that he will be defeated, so he needs to jail all his opponents. That was exactly the role that they do when they fear that they're going to lose power.
Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal, she's traveling. She's in North America of the Colombia legislature. We're going to turn to Colombia next about the virus and about the unrest. Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.